What's up, Buckeye Nation, and welcome back to another episode of Dot in the Eye with Davis and Chad. And guess what? It is game week. I am so excited to be doing a little bit more than talking about football. We're actually going to get to watch some football. I'm so excited, even though we're playing Akron this Saturday, 3:30 p.m. CBS in the Shoe. I'm excited. Davis and I will be together. It's going to be a great week, man, a great week for Columbus, and so much to talk about. How are you, Mr. Davis?
Dude, I'm doing great, man. This has been a long time coming, and I'll be honest, dude. This has been the longest offseason that I can remember. I mean, not only coming off three straight losses to that team up north, another disappointing, you know, finish to the season, but I think we are coming in, and this is difficult to say considering how many, you know, off seasons that we've had, but I think there's the most hope for a season that we've ever had. I mean, if you really look from top to bottom with people we brought in, people we brought back, expectations, I mean, this season is just, it's hyped so much that, you know, you're just chomping at the bit to finally see some football. Now, again, I know it's Akron, first game of this year, you know, we're looking at a blowout. I don't think that's debatable, but either way, I'm just happy to finally see some game footage from Ohio State because we've been waiting since, what, January? The beginning of January to finally see this, so
well, it's game time. Do you sometimes feel like the hype might be a little bit too much?
Yes and no. I agree because we're the talk of the town. I mean, it's not just local media that I know that you hear, but of course me being down in Kentucky, I hear a lot of the national side of it, and that's all they talk about. Like every time I have ESPN radio on my Sirius XM in my car, like every 30 minutes it's okay, Ohio State this, Ohio State that, like, you know, we're in the spotlight. I mean, there's no hiding from what we've done in the offseason, and then you kind of pair that with you know, just the national landscape of college football, and we're just kind of the talk of the town, you know. But I did find it interesting, and a side note, it wasn't really one of our notes we're going to talk about, but did you see game day when they were in Dublin and they were talking about, you know, kind of picking some teams and everything, and not a single person picked Ohio State?
Not a shocker, dude. I hate to say this, man, but Ohio State has turned into, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a fan, but basically the college football Yankees. So now we've spent $20 million on a payroll, which is more than anybody else that we know of.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. We spent $20 million.
Do you have the receipts?
You know, there's multiple news sources reporting that. And I'll tell you what, when I heard Ross Bjork, when they quoted him, and I read the article where he said, hey, when I got here, this plan was already laid out and it was extremely aggressive as to what we were going to do going forward into the season. So I fully believe that number. I do.
First of all, if you ever say extremely aggressive to me again in that tone, I will smack you in public.
Was it too aggressive? Was it extremely aggressive?
It was very aggressive the way you said that.
But yeah, I do believe that that's what we did. But hey, welcome to be a Yankees fan. You spend the most money you're expected to perform. How about that?
Well, I hope it doesn't actually pan out like the Yankees, because let's be honest, they haven't won a World Series since, what, 2001?
2009. Well, all right.
It feels like 2001. You know who has won a World Series in the last couple of years?
Anyway, so Akron, Ohio State.
Let's just move right past that then.
But no, I do think the expectations are high, but I get a little bit nervous when they get this high just because I feel like, you know, I don't want the kids to feel that way at Ohio State. I want it to be loose. I want it to be cohesive. I want to see us perform at a high level, and I don't want the expectations to be too much. You know what I mean? It's already a lot to be at Ohio State here and to be expected to win every game. But, you know, now you got the national media and everybody else out there expecting the same thing from you, and that's kind of tough, dude. I just don't want it to get inside everybody's head.
So fall camp is finalized now, and there's not a whole ton of surprises. Obviously, you know, Will Howard is going to be the starting quarterback, but we did see something that was surprising, and that Tegra Shibola has actually overtaken Carson Hensman as the right guard. And
hello, transfer portal.
I don't know how I feel about that, but I feel like that's got to be a good thing, right?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm 50-50 on this, okay? Now, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I don't know shit about shit, but I do know this. It wouldn't.
You definitely don't.
Yeah.
You definitely don't. But go ahead. Tell us more that you don't know.
That's true. But I will say this. I wouldn't put it past Ryan Day for this to be somewhat of a motivational tactic as well. You know what I mean? A guy that's an upperclassman, a senior guy that's, you know, to Tegra, and maybe he's just not giving what Ryan Day thinks he could. And maybe this is, you know, it's the first game of the season. We got a couple of Kate games before we get into the meat of the season. Maybe he's actively trying to poke, you know, a competition at that position, or maybe Tegra's just that much better. I don't know, but the way Ryan Day phrased it.
I think it could be a combination. Yeah, well, I think it could Ryan be a Day combination of that.
Was this. He said basically that Tegra had earned the right to start Saturday. He didn't say he's the starting guard. He said he's earned the right to start Saturday. So that leads me to believe that possibly he's leaving some meat on the bone. You know what I mean? That maybe there's a little bit of competition going on there.
And I welcome that. And I don't think we're having to worry about like a transfer issue. Obviously, there's not going to be another window up until the end of the season anyways. But, you know, we're already struggling a little bit at depth of that position. So I think it is important that, you know, Ryan Day does find ways to try to motivate and keep players engaged. And Carson Hensman, just because he's not starting doesn't mean he's not going to play. I mean, he's still going to have a vital role in this. And especially if someone goes down, we need to make sure that we have someone in there that is going to have some experience. So I think this can only be a good thing, in my opinion, because Tegra Shabol is going to get, you know, at least for the first three games guaranteed, kind of a cakewalk to kind of break the seal and kind of get himself used to the position and try to help the offensive line gel. And then once we start getting into the Big Ten season, we have a couple games to kind of get under his belt until we really hit the meat of the schedule. So I see this as a good thing personally.
Yeah. I mean, I can see it that way. It's just hard for me to look at. He was arguably, one of the best offensive linemen we had last year. Now, they brought in a guy that's better than him, but we're talking about a guy playing line with experience. You know what I mean? It's hard for me to believe that he would just all of a sudden not be a starter on that line. You know what I mean? Everybody expected him to move to right guard. So, part of me just feels like there might be a little bit of something behind this.
And we also get news, obviously. I don't think it's much of a shocker to Buckeye Nation, but Jeremiah Smith is the number three wide receiver.
Yeah, I think we all kind of saw it coming. I mean, you know, I guess, you know, there was talk about Ennis and stuff like that maybe being in that third spot. But, I mean, anybody that's been watching any of the clips on Twitter or reading any of the reports about what's been impressive at camp, I mean, you had to see this coming from a mile away.
Yeah, I, like I said, I don't think it's a surprise. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, I can guarantee by the end of the season, he's not the number three. He's one of the top two, if not the top one. I mean, everything that I'm hearing and seeing is just that he's just so unreal that he is already light years ahead of any other freshman we've ever had at that position at Ohio State. So, you know, I really try to tailor my expectations, but I'm sorry. You know, I feel like he is just a big play waiting to happen at any moment. And you know, I know this is kind of a big phrase to say, and especially without seeing anything, but I can almost compare the hype to what Reggie Bush was.
That's interesting. I mean, I don't know, man. I think the hype for Marv was probably bigger than...
No. Marv comes in, and we all know that it's Marvin Harrison's son when he, you know, comes in with Kyle McCord from the same high school, and he doesn't really see a whole ton of time in his freshman year until kind of the end of the year. And then he has a really good Rose Bowl and kind of springs him forward. This kid has come in and single-handedly won a starting job that in just some of the things that we've heard and we've seen in the clips is just that, you know, he's already light years ahead of any freshman. And he's a freak of nature. If you look at him, I mean, his build does not look like an 18, 19 year old kid. He looks like a seasoned veteran in college getting ready to go to the draft. So I'm telling you, you know, barring anything crazy, I mean, we're going to get 3 years of this kid.
Yeah.
And that's scary to think, isn't it?
I mean, kind of, but I don't know how good he is. A couple clips on Twitter and some people talking don't tell me nothing. I got to see him.
I'm telling you, dude. And I know, you know, I mean, I know you're trying to tailor your expectation too, but you know, like this kid is going to end up in New York. I don't know if he'll actually win a Heisman. And I know this is big talk, but I'm telling you, he will end up in New York.
And that's awful bold without playing a game at Ohio State.
I know. It's crazy. I did this whole thing with Dead and Brown last year, and look at how I look right now. So
I know. So maybe we'll revisit this next year and see where you're standing. You know,
see how you feel. Maybe I've magically become Nostradamus and now I can predict these things. I don't know.
Maybe so. But well, listen here. While we're talking about magic, let's talk about the magic of AdditionalFlavors.com. You like that? Do you like that segue? Come on,
delicious,
man.
Delicious,
right?
Delicious.
So, anyways, everybody knows we are sponsored by Additional Flavors. If you get a chance, go to their website, check them out, www.additionalflavors.com, and they make spices for everything that you can imagine, for barbecue, for any kind of poultry or meat, or even there's just spices for baking. There's all kinds of stuff. We've tried many of their stuff. It's awesome. So please go check it out. And when we decide the live show is going to be, which, you know, we still haven't quite pinned that down yet. But when we do, they've already agreed to bring some of their newer flavors out and stuff like that, and some of the old favorites for us to give away again this year like we did last year. So look forward to that. And if you catch us at the live show, make sure to come up and grab one and, you know, tell your friends about it. www.additionalflavors.com. And I cannot say three W's together.
No, you can't. No, you can't, dude. You chew it up every time.
Every time.
www.
I got to slow it down.
www.additionalflavors.com. Do you want me to start reading the ad read from now on?
Maybe. Shit. So let's move on to the speaking of shit, let's move on to Connor Stallions here, bud.
Yeah. So the Netflix documentary dropped this past Tuesday. And
the Sign Stealer.
Yeah. So we both gave a crack at it and watched the episode. And first of all, I mean, just past Untolds, I mean, there's kind of been a series of these. They're actually pretty good, but I think this one lacked a little bit before we really get into in a little more in depth with it, just because it's so recent that I don't think they gave it enough time for enough stuff to unravel. So I feel like a narrative was actually kind of written with this, and it didn't seem super unbiased, in my opinion. You know what I mean?
Well, I watched it three times.
Three?
Three.
Now, I know you're lying, because
I'm not lying.
You don't have that kind of free time. There's no way.
I watched it twice last night. And then
I watched it
while I wasn't doing anything at work.
Well, okay, that's fair. Yeah, I know your work schedule, so you probably watched it three times at work.
So I will tell you this. The first time I saw it, I kind of was a little bit mixed up about it. And then, like, kind of as I watched it again, I paid a little bit more attention to body language. You know, and things like that. And basically, here's my synopsis. I'll let you give yours. Basically, this guy's a super fan, okay, who wants to do anything to achieve his dream of being a Michigan coach. So he devises pretty much a way to, you know, sell stealing signs to a Michigan coach that he meets, you know, at a camp. And then, but here's the part that I just can't understand. They want us to believe that this guy bought tickets to games he couldn't attend on a $55,000 salary by himself, then sold those tickets to people that he knew, not anybody else to actually make money, but people that he knew. And then those people then went to the game and then just magically decided to send him videos of the signs without him asking. And he didn't need those because he already had that footage. He can't remember being on the sideline during the CMU game, but stood in front of a camera and remembered 2,000 hand signals to make a book. I just, all these things, dude, it felt really smug to me. Almost like a guy that, like, killed somebody and then got tried for the crime and was acquitted and then wrote a book on how he did it and got away with it. You know what I mean? It just felt snarky. Like, the whole thing, and I don't think it painted Michigan in a very good light at all. I really don't.
I mean, I'll be honest. You kind of hit the nail on the head with a lot of that. I mean, like I said, one of the big points that I got out of that is just how smart they continue to say that this kid is. You know, that was one of the things they repeated, you know, numerous times. you know, he went to the Naval Academy, went into the Marines. Like, he's a super smart kid. He's broken this stuff down. He took the time to write a multi-thousand page manifesto. He did, you know, took a video of himself doing thousands of different signs, broke them all down, had all this stuff, right? But, oh, I can't remember whether I was or wasn't at that CMU game on the sideline. Or, you know, I can't remember all the times I bought tickets and I just couldn't go and I just bought it for my mom or for my friend or for my dad. Like, bull crap, dude.
There's Portnoy's on there saying, yeah, he was at the game. Yeah, it was him.
Yeah.
I mean, his own buddy dimed him out.
Yeah. And I don't even like Portnoy, but, you know, it's just. So, in my opinion, it felt very similar to Swamp Kings that Netflix did with Urban Meyer and, you know, kind of the Florida deal when he was there, is that it's kind of a puff piece. I mean, in a way, like, they kind of really let Urban drive the narrative of Swamp Kings, so they really avoided a lot of the negative stuff that happened. They didn't really hit on Aaron Hernandez. They didn't really hit on players getting in trouble, stuff. They just kind of hit on, like, the general aspect of it. And I feel like it was similar with this because, essentially, Connor Stallions was narrating this whole thing, you know. Yeah. So he really got to drive the narrative. And I also don't know legally what he was and wasn't allowed to say because, you know, by the time they were recording some of this stuff, you know, the investigation is still ongoing. And obviously he got some sort of big-time lawyer. And just the fact that he got this big-time lawyer that apparently has a good record against NCAA and who despises the NCAA, if he's willing to do this Netflix documentary, that's by the advice of his lawyer. And obviously, if his lawyer is in his side, he feels there's benefit to Connor Stallions to do this Netflix thing.
Well, I have to believe that since they sat there during the, you know, majority of the interview on his sides there, that a lot of this was edited out. I bet you there was a lot of stuff said in there that they were like, nope.
Absolutely. It was the same way, I guarantee you, the same way with the Urban Meyer thing, because Urban Meyer was on the fence where he said, listen, you know, if this thing gets publicized, you know, if this thing gets out there, it's going to be what I want it to be. And I guarantee, you know, under advice of his lawyer, because he clearly had a big time lawyer out of Texas, you know, per the Netflix documentary, that I guarantee they was being advised on what Connor Stallions was going to allow and not allow, because Connor Stallions could have just denied, you know, this whole documentary. But obviously he took it for an opportunity, and it's clear as day, to try to make it look like he was more the victim in this. And that's the crazy thing. Because I'll be honest, the way they portrayed it had me thinking a couple times, like, man, you know, he was really just trying to do what he thought was best. And he didn't do anything wrong. But then I kind of square myself real quick and I'm like, well, that's bullcrap, dude, because you're leaving out this. You're not telling the truth about this. You know, you're just trying to create this narrative that makes it look like he was just this big time fanboy. He did it whatever he could to help Michigan win. I mean, he even, you know, resigned his position for the betterment of Michigan. He said he didn't care what happened to him as long as it didn't affect Michigan. Like, it's bullshit.
Like, it is.
It was just so. Such a puff piece, in my opinion. I mean, there were so many half-truths in that, you know, if you take it at face value for what you're reading, I can see how it really tried to, like, lessen the light on Connor Stallions. But we had this argument off mic the other night about what reasonable penalties do you think are going to come down? Because the NOA actually came down a few days ago to Michigan for all of the violations that happened in regards to the Connor Stallions cheating scandal. And we had a discussion and an argument about what do you really think the disciplinary actions are going to be? And we were kind of on two different sides of the fence there, weren't we?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, here's the biggest thing for me. There's two different schools of thought here. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think should happen? To me, you know, I don't talk about my career much on here, but I am in charge of quite a few people, over 40 people.
And, 17.
Yeah. And during that, a lot of the time, I used this similar tactic. Okay, if something happened that has never happened before, you have to set a precedence because you have to live by that from then on. If you punish somebody a certain way or don't punish somebody a certain way, then that sets a precedence for what's going to happen in the future. And I think this being a situation that affected an in-game thing. It's not a recruiting violation. It's not kids showing their wiener in the bathroom. It's not kids getting touched in the shower at Penn State. It is you are affecting the outcome of football games. I think you have to set a precedent here. So I think that I think you have to drop the hammer here. I do. Now, what does that include? I don't know. I think they should vacate it. I really do. I think they should vacate it. I think that they should get punishment. I think it should be very swift and very harsh. Now, do I think that's going to happen? Not necessarily. But I think that's what should happen.
I completely agree. So if you want to think about it, let's talk about Reggie Bush for a second. I know I brought him up earlier, but, you know, he has to basically give up his Heisman. Now, given he just recently got it back, and his was off of basically, you know, his parents getting a house gifted to them, like impermissible benefits, and essentially they deemed that he played ineligible. But did that affect the outcome of the game when it was played on the field? No. You know what I mean? And yeah. Then we talk about Terrell Pryor and Jordan Hall and a handful of those guys getting tattoos for giving up some of their memorabilia for free. And Jim Tressel, you know, gets crucified for this, essentially. And even Terrell Pryor actually had to serve a penalty in the NFL.
So did
for
Jim
something
Tressel.
That's for yeah. something that's actually legal now. That, exactly. again, on the field had zero to do with the outcome of the game. And yet Ohio State had to, you know, vacate wins, and Reggie Bush loses his Heisman. And you're going to sit here and tell me for the first time that I can reasonably remember that someone has actually done something that on the field has affected the outcome of the game. And we're expecting for not much to happen. I call bullshit. Like, they're going to. I told you right now. I already told you. They're going to vacate wins guaranteed. What they do with this national title, I have no idea, because this whole thing came up about 7-8 games into the season. So I don't know what they'll do, but I fully expect 2022 and 2021 to be vacated.
Well, here's my argument that I've had with Michigan fans, because a lot of them have said this to me. Okay, well, if that's the truth, if it was really that big of a deal, then how come we didn't win it in the years before this? And I said, well, it's very simple. This Saturday, we play Akron in the Horseshoe, right? We could take our playbook and hand it to Akron 2 weeks before the game, and we would still beat them because they do not possess the athletic talent to compete with us. If you do that to somebody, say Michigan, okay, who has much better recruits, you know, as you build up and you get to that pinnacle, like we talked about, that's for us this year, you have an upper class team, a lot of guys going to the NFL, you hit that peak, you know, every couple of years where you're really in contention for a national title. You combine that with having those answers, and you're going to win some football games.
Right. I mean, so take apart from the Netflix, which I didn't realize, but Connor Stallions was actually involved with the Navy football program back in, what was it, 2014, when Navy actually had to play Ohio State. And within the first quarter or two, he was deciphering enough signs that he was able to call some stuff. And I remember vividly, this is when I was up in Columbus after my sister's wedding, and me, my wife, and you, and I think your fiance at the time, I don't know if you were married yet, but you know, we were sitting in a bar watching this game, and clearly, you know, we won the game 34-17, but Ohio State against Navy, you would expect more than that. And it was a little bit of a struggle in that game. Now, given that was right after Braxton Miller got hurt in, you know, the fall camp, and JT Barrett's a starter right off the rip as a freshman, but clearly you could see there was already some sort of distinct advantage just by being able to call out stuff. Now, what he did in that game was legal. Okay, I'm not debating that. I know that's legal, and that was a competitive advantage that they legally obtained. And he continued that work, and there's no doubt in my mind that anytime Michigan played Ohio State, once he finally got involved with that program, it was an advantage. However, the whole distinct purpose of the legalities of this is that a lot of this came from more than just watching film. More than just, you know, doing it in game. A lot of this happened in preparation in advance from advanced scouting. And that's where the whole argument starts to get diluted, and where he tried to say, well, you know, my buddies went to the game, and, you know, there's a question mark. If they video something and send it to me, you know, how Connor said in the Netflix thing, he's like, well, I'm not going to tell him I already got this stuff, so I don't need it. I'm just going to say, okay, thanks, man. Bull crap, dude. You weren't at the game. You know, why would you send two of your buddies or your mom or whatever to a game, and they're going to sit there and video the other sideline? What purpose would they have to do that? other than they were instructed to do so.
None. When have you ever had a friend that went to a game and didn't send you a picture of the stadium or the teams or anything like that, but send you videos of the play calls? Never.
Yeah, no, never, never, dude. I mean, the last time I went to an Ohio State Michigan game, I don't even know if I took video. I just took pictures, and it was obviously of game footage, like actual the players playing. It had nothing to do with the sideline.
Well, then so, I felt like some of it was backhanded. Like, you know that Jim Harbaugh's like, I don't even know who he is. But then what do they show in the documentary? This dude holding a game ball.
Standing right next to Jim Harbaugh, and Jim Harbaugh turning his shoulder over to him when he calls stuff out.
Yeah, hey, don't get a big head about this. That's what he told him. He said, yeah, he told me don't get a big head about this.
Yeah, there's like little subtleties in this that even though I know he didn't want to release too much, you can read between the lines and see that this was a whole operation. And this operation stemmed from the fact that Ohio State was curb stomping Michigan for so many years that after Brady Hoke, actually, it wasn't even after Brady Hoke. It was after, I mean, what, Jim Harbaugh, what, lost his first five games to Ohio State? I mean, he got hired in 2014, late 2014. So he loses in 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. And then ducks in 20, or else that would have been six straight losses. Well, he was on the verge of getting fired.
I can't wait till the report actually comes out when it's all done, what they actually going to get, and they release what happens. Because, you know, I have so many questions. And, you know, first of all, I thought the interviewer on there, you know, like you said, it was a fluff piece. He did a terrible job. I would have grilled this dude. I'd
have been who's to say they didn't? It just didn't make the cut because Connor Stallions and his lawyer, because I guarantee his lawyer was involved in whether or not Connor Stallions was going to even do this. And I guarantee the deal was, you want to release this, well, it's going to be more what Connor says is allowed or what the lawyer says is allowed to make the cut. So
yeah,
I guarantee more happened behind the scenes with this 100%. To try to really dig deep. But what was released is what was allowed to be released.
Well, I will tell you this, though. People, you know, they contend, and this is all the Michigan fans, that they did nothing wrong. We did nothing wrong. So if you do nothing wrong, why does one guy resign, another guy get fired, and then your head coach who you decided to hire anyways deletes 50-some text messages? Like, you don't do that.
And then your head coach who actually wins the national title and is a Michigan man, quote-unquote, leaves for the NFL.
Immediately. Like, you couldn't.
And takes half the coaching staff with him.
Left a dust cloud on the way out of town. Yeah. I mean, hauling ass.
Like, that's unheard of. That's unheard of. I mean, there's never been a national title winning head coach in college football that has left the following year, from my understanding.
Well, I'm going to tell you this much right now. After all this, don't anybody ever say Michigan man to me again. Okay? Unless you're talking about a cheat, a liar, then I don't want to hear nothing about Michigan man look down their nose at other people. Get the hell out of here. Quit that shit. That's why I said I hope they never win another football game.
Yeah, that whole Michigan man crap, dude, that pisses me off. But anyways, yeah, I'll be honest. It was funny. So me and my wife sat down and we started watching it. And like the first 15, 20 minutes, there's no spoiler here, but you know how they're doing background, right? And they're talking about Connor's upbringing and how he loves Michigan. I was like, I looked at my wife and I was like, can I just fast forward to the part where he starts cheating? I was like, I don't want to sit here and listen to this crap.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you're right, though. But I mean, to me, I did ask myself this question, though, when I was sitting there on the couch. I go, Chad, okay, so let's take all the BS apart. Take all of it out there that he cheated. If Ohio State University came to you and said, Chad, we have an opportunity for you. Now, here's the thing. You're not going to go to jail. But if you do it, we're going to win a national championship. Now, you probably get banned from campus for life, but you'll be a legend.
And you'll be revered. Absolutely. Yeah.
Would you do it? Yes. Yes,
absolutely.
I would.
I mean, I'm not blaming Connor Stallions necessarily as an individual because I can understand the fandom aspect of it. If there's any part that I do understand, it's that fandom because I would do anything for Ohio State too. And of course, I would probably cross the line if I knew that it was in the best interest of Ohio State. And I know would too. So yeah. I'm not necessarily blaming. It's like I don't really have a hatred of Connor Stallions or anything like that. I just have a hatred of that team up north and anything that revolves around them.
And I hate him. I think
that's just where I'm at.
I'm just being honest. I think he's smug. I think he thinks he's smarter than everybody.
Well, I mean, it obviously didn't paint a good light on him to people that are already not fans of Michigan. I get that. I mean, if the roles were reversed and let's say it was Ohio State and Connor Staines was Ohio State, I mean, you'd be sitting there and you'd probably almost be just like, ha, I got those bastards. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. I do. I get it. I honestly get it. And if we were getting our asses kicked for 18 in the last 19 years kind of deal, I would get it. But yeah, the writing's on the wall, and it was a fluff piece, and he cheated, and I'm excited to see what comes down over the next few months when they finally, you know, unleash the penalties, and Michigan could be devastated by this.
Well, they need to hurry up. This is ridiculous. I mean,
well, it's the NCAA, dude. Would you expect anything different?
No, I don't expect it, but people that killed like 30 people and buried them outside of a prison somewhere are in jail quicker than some guy that cheated at football. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, they just take forever. My gosh. Like, I'm surprised people don't die before they come out with verdicts. My Lord.
I think some probably have.
Probably have. You're right.
It's like, well, he's got a 5-year show because, like, NCAA, he passed away last year.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, then I guess it's a lifetime ban.
All I can think about is Major League. This guy's dead. Cross him off then.
Cross him off then. All right. So that's enough on that. But, you know, I think we feel the similar way that a lot of Ohio State fans feel about that. And if it were me personally, I'm really predicting that they are going to come down with the hammer. I really am. If they basically come up with a slap in the wrist, like you had mentioned, we got to set a precedent, because when's the last time you really understand someone affecting the integrity of the game like this has? You have to. Now, I understand NCAA at this point is starting to become more and more irrelevant with college football, but you have to set a standard at some point, even though while you still have some sort of say-so in college football. So well, I really expect them to come down with a hammer.
I'm not going to shit talk the NCAA today because they are in my good graces. Did you see the news today that they are trying to
get rid of the spring window?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That is beautiful. Bring it on.
And it's great. I mean, I think there's too many windows that NCAA does open. Obviously, when you're having two different transfer windows, especially one right after spring, you know, that just lessens the amount of effort that goes into competing during the spring window.
It also destroys your recruiting plans.
Recruiting plans are affected, and also your depth chart can be affected.
Yeah.
Because even though someone doesn't earn the spot, but they're still going to play a vital role, maybe that player is just a little bit upset because they didn't get the starting role, but they were going to get plenty of playing time, and you needed that depth, especially for a longer season that we're getting ready to start having.
Mm-hmm.
You need that. And if they leave right after spring practice, then all of a sudden you have nothing. Counting on trying to transfer in to replenish, especially at Ohio State, when you're not just wanting to pick anyone, you're wanting to pick big time players, there's few and far between.
Yep. And you know what?
It's going to cost you a 7-digit figure just to try to even get someone on your radar to bring them in.
Every single day, as college football changes, and I feel like it is every day, I feel like every day there's a new change to the rules of the game, or there's a new, you know, policy change, or there's new, like, you know, also there's the redshirt rule now. They changed that. You saw that? You know, where now you can do 4 games in the regular season, but the postseason also doesn't count towards your redshirt. So you could pretty much play the last 4 and then the CFP and win it. You could win a national championship as the quarterback and then redshirt.
True.
You know,
and that's critical because that's not, and I understand that rule because not every team is created equal. There's some teams that as soon as their last game's done, they get one bowl game and that's it. But why penalize these other teams that are going to get a conference championship game and then potentially 3 to 4 CFP games?
Yeah.
So it's just that one just makes sense.
I feel like we just reinvent the wheel though all the time. Like college football was the same for years and years and years, all the way up until they decided to do the CFP. Since the CFP came in and we moved from the BCS to the CFP, all hell has broken loose. We've done nothing but change stuff. It's all the time. I can't even keep track of all the stuff that's changed. And I'm like, more and more and more, I understand Chip Kelly. People are like, oh, I don't believe that. I do believe it. There's so many changes. It's so hard to keep track of. Like, it's hard to find an advantage and find a routine and something that works and be successful at it. It's so hard to do. So I can understand just being like, man, screw all this. I just want to coach football.
Right. Yeah, I completely get it. So Let's kind of start working our way towards this Akron preview. But before we do, you know, every season we run a bet, like a kind of running tally bet. And each game we give three prop bets that me and you disagree upon that, you know, obviously will be decided once game happens. And we kind of keep a running tally at the end of the season. There's winner, there's loser. In the first season we decided to do this, you are the loser. And there's still a video attached to our website, which is dtipodcast.com. If you want to watch that.
Why did you say the word loser so harshly?
It wasn't as aggressive as you earlier.
It sounded aggressive. I mean, it caught my attention. I was half asleep, and then you hit me with the loser, and I woke up.
Well, I mean, it's like Beck said, I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me? But so we're going to keep with the same format because it's kind of worked. We like our prop bets. We like discussing things. That's something that we kind of did informally for years.
And I can't remember who won that last year, though. I'm getting rusty.
Well, it's funny. Yeah. It's funny because you actually did forget because I've had to bring all this stuff back up to you because someone has been busy doing other things. And
well, I knew I won the prop bet. I forgot about the other bet. I knew.
So well, there's three total things that we had bets on for the year. And you've won two of them. One I did win was we do our bowl predictions. I won that. You owe me dinner. It's going to happen this weekend. I'm not worried about it. But the big one I lost was obviously the season long prop bet. And it did come down to that Missouri game. We're not even going to talk about that. But we have not finalized what my punishment is going to be yet. And I know last year we came up with some options. We posted it on our Facebook page and we had people vote. And ultimately that won. We may have to go that same route. I don't know. We haven't really finalized that yet. We've kind of dropped the ball on paying off you that, but I guarantee
you will pay.
Yes, I understand. I've lost. There's going to be a consequence, some sort of consequence. I'll tell you what, I'll shave my head.
Oh, okay.
I'll shave my head.
So basically do nothing. Get up in the morning.
I'll do what I do every other day. But no, we'll come up with a few options that we agree upon, things that I still have to okay. I mean, remember, I'm still a teacher. I teach in a small town. Like, I can't just stand on the side of the road and ask for money as a homeless man. Like, I'm going to run into people I know. But
well, you might get a bigger payout.
That's true. I'm on a teacher salary. Like, they'll understand. A homeless. I was like, oh, you're a teacher. Same thing. So, but we will come up with something and we'll hit on that more, I guess, within the next week or so. Especially, we're going to have plenty of time this weekend when I come up to Columbus to talk about, you know, some options that will float out there. But the other bet I lost is, and I had to remind you on this, was our last episode that we recorded last season. We were talking about kind of the future of the program for the next year, and I was still really high on Devin Brown, and you were high on anyone else that could come into the program.
Pretty much.
And you said that the starting quarterback for Ohio State, and this is prior to us even knowing we're bringing Will Howard in, you know, we had brought no one in, but you said a transfer quarterback will be our starting quarterback next year. And I said, it will be Devin Brown, and I'll bet you a bottle of liquor on it. And I may or may not, I'll have to go back and listen, but it may or may not have to be also where you have to port for the person and say, here you are, sire. When you hand, I don't remember. I'll have to go back and listen. Regardless,
I prefer a 1953 Dom Perignon.
And I have to have my pinky out when I hand it to you, and I have to pour. It's like, is this enough, sire? And you'd be like, a little bit more, please. And like, why? Like, four or five women are sitting there fanning you with big,
feeding me grapes,
feeding you grapes, and you're sitting there in a gold throne and just a freaking cloth
with some leaves
tucked around your ears. It's like you're Caesar. It's like and then you have like a ring. It's kiss the ring.
I'm gonna go back and listen because if that's what happened, I mean, you will pay. I've said that twice.
I'm pretty sure that's kind of the route we went, because I was so confident in that I think I upped the game a little bit. And of course, you know, knowing you, you're a gambling person. You're like, I don't care. Sure. Up the stakes. Like, let's do it. So either way, I'm going to pay multiple times for a couple bets I've lost, but it's a new season. We are going to continue the three bets. We will get into those three bets for the Akron game as soon as we get into the preview here in a minute. But we're going to continue the same thing. And if you ever want to keep up with that, or obviously whenever we make a video for whatever the loser has to do again, that will be posted on the website again. That's dtipodcast.com. So let's get into Akron. Opening game of the season. How you feeling?
This is a opening game like no other. I think usually you hear me kind of tell you, oh, well, it's a fluff, you know. We don't play anybody for the first 4 weeks and it's a scrimmage.
And but we got still, Akron.
It still is. But I haven't been this excited, dude, for a season opener in a long time. We got so many new pieces I'm excited to see. Like you said, we got Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate. We got Will Howard. We got Judkins. We got, you know, I'm so excited Caleb to see the defense. What's that?
Caleb Downs.
Oh, I thought you said Devin Brown. I was like, no, he's on the bench. But
he is number two. We got
Caleb Downs. Sorry, I had to throw that one out there via my bottle of liquor. But anyway, I'm excited to see Ohio State football back, see how it's going to look. We got Chip Kelly calling plays from the booth. They announced that. I'm excited just to kind of see, you know, what does Ohio State look like? What does Ohio State football look like for 2024? You know what I mean? That's what I'm so Same excited thing. To see. You know? Yeah,
I mean, well, you're always excited for opening game just because it's been, what, 9 months since you've seen a game. So you could be playing the little sisters of the poor. It doesn't matter who you're playing. You're just so super excited to see your team play. And I mean, there's no secret that the schedule is really set up for us this year, on top of probably having maybe one of the better teams we've had in recent memory. So, you know, the expectations are high. And when you come into games against Akron, I mean, the most important thing is really just health. You know, we want to stay healthy. We want to make sure no key players get hurt. We want to see, you know, personally, I understand you try to keep more of the playbook a little simple, but I'd like to see them actually open it up. And I understand the old adage of, you know, keep it simple so you're not revealing too much for future opponents. But I feel like the more that you can actually put on film, the more options and the more things that they're going to have to prepare for and plan for. So I would really like to see them, even against Akron, to really open this playbook up and show a lot of different things that could possibly happen.
Well, I think no matter how much they show them, I think it's still going to look different with Chip Kelly at the helm. I think, you know, I know it's going to have, you know, a lot of the, you know, it's still going to have Ryan Day in it, but you're going to be able to see some Chip Kelly, which I'm excited about that. I want to see how that looks.
You said Ryan Day in it.
Yeah, you're going to see some Ryan Day in it, but you're not going to see some, or you're going to see some Chip Kelly
in,
as well.
In Will Howard, or are we Listen, going back dude, to last
if
episode?
If anybody's getting
or?
Into Will Howard, it's you. We've already talked about that. Okay? Yeah. You made that clear.
I couldn't help it. I just wanted to get into Will Howard last episode. I mean, obviously, you preemptively even called that. Like, you knew last season that you wanted to get into Will Howard. Obviously, yeah. Won you a free bottle of liquor.
It was true. I, you know, I was like hoping Will Howard get into me. That's what
That's how it goes.
Oh gosh.
And the funniest thing is, I knew you were gonna take it that way too. I knew you were gonna do that.
Dude,
and
you
I
can't
still
tee it up like that for me. You can't just tee it up like that.
You know what I mean? It's like you never matured past 13 years old.
I never
just
did.
In an adult body withering away, but yet your brain stopped at 13.
And the thing is, dude, so many people ask me, like one of my secondary dreams is always to do stand-up comedy. So when I see the opportunity for comedy, I'm going to do it.
You know, and that's something I thought about on a side tangent, dude. I'm not sitting here saying I'm a funny person. I guarantee I probably don't sound funny on this podcast. But, dude, me and you, we know how to make each other laugh beyond, like, recognition. Yeah. And I really guarantee some of the stories that me and you could share, we could just get up and not even try to do a bit, just tell stories from our childhood, and we could probably own a room in an open mic night.
For sure.
You know what? Maybe that sounds like a bet. Maybe possibly a bet I've lost where I have to go do an open mic night somewhere.
Oh, man, that's great. Yeah. Actually, a buddy of mine is actually doing it now.
Is he really?
He was a former Marine, that I hung out with. He didn't steal any signs, but he's a comedian and also a cop. And
he's like, sir, I'm not finding this speeding ticket very funny.
It's actually really funny because he said, just real quick, and we'll get to this, the rest of the Akron thing. But he said he goes, yeah, I pulled up to a he's like, there was a palm reading thing. You know what I mean? He's like, a psychic thing that reads your palm. He goes, it was a drive through. I've never seen that before in my life. And he's like, so I pull up to the drive through thing and I'm like, well, how does this work? She's like, well, I read your palm, you know, and I tell you your future and all this kind of stuff like that. And he goes, so she reads she reads my palm. He goes, and she's like, well, that'll be $20. He goes, I looked at her, I go, bet you didn't see this coming, and I peeled out.
That can't be real. First of all, who has a drive-through palm reading? Maybe California. I don't know.
Oh, man.
But yeah. Anyways.
So back to Akron. We all kind of know what it is. The only really highlight of Akron, they were 2-10 last year. I mean, they're just not a good football team, and they're a bottom feeder in the MAC. They got a quarterback by the name of Ben Finley, who's a 2-time transfer quarterback. You know, he came from NC State and Cal. So he's been to both those schools. He's found a home here at Akron. So he does have some experience. So I think hopefully that'll give him a little bit of balance at quarterback. But other than that, man, just not really a good football team. Don't expect there to be any issue. And I expect to see, like you said, a lot of variation in Ohio State. And I don't see the starters playing that long. But that's my prediction.
Yeah, I'm seeing much of the same, and I don't think anyone can debate that. Like, you're going to see the starters out there for the first half, maybe drive or two in the second half, and then we're going to be filling it in. Akron is, I mean, if we're talking just holistically, just in our entire preseason, you know, we're talking Akron, Marshall, and Western Kentucky. Like, you know, these first 3 weeks are actually going to be set up pretty good for us because we are breaking someone new in. Now, he's not someone like Kyle McCord last year that really was never a starter. So we're still breaking someone in. But the big thing is we're looking for Will Howard to get some actual continuity with the offense. You know, I'm not worried about the defense at all. I'm expecting this defense to be a top five defense, just very similar, if not better, than what they were last year. So a lot of this is going to be, and I think, you know, you would agree with this, is you want to see better offensive side of the ball. If you recall our opener last year against Indiana, I wouldn't even call it bland. It was really bad, actually. I mean, we struggled. It didn't look good. And for several weeks, I mean, even Youngstown State, I feel like we should have played better against Western Kentucky. I think we finally started doing some more things, but you know, I want to see this offense. It doesn't have to be flashy. It just needs to be effective and efficient because that's all you really need it to be when you have this many weapons in the backfield and in the wide receiver room. We just need to see some efficiency. I mean, how many times a couple of years ago, especially when you remember with CJ Stroud, did we watch games where it's like the first 5 to 6 drives were all touchdowns or touchdowns, field goal, touchdown, field goal? Like, we should not be going on any drives against Akron or the first three opponents in the first half, but a few times. You know, we really should not be seeing us punting the ball. So I need to see this offense, you know, a lot more productive than they were at the beginning of last season. Obviously, with our opponents being lesser, you should be more efficient. But that's ultimately what I'm wanting to see out of this Akron game. You know, it should be a halftime score of like 38 plus to nothing, something in that realm, 42 nothing. Like, it should be obviously completely over by halftime. And if I'm seeing something like in the realm of like 24-3 at halftime or 27-3 at halftime, 28-7 at halftime, I'm going to be disappointed, to be perfectly honest with you, because my expectations are so high knowing some of the teams that we have on our schedule this year. It needs to be a complete blowout.
I see what you're saying, but I've decided, and I told you this, I was going to keep my expectations a little bit at bay. And in the first 3 weeks of the season and kind of let the cohesiveness. I just keep telling myself, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback. That's a new system for both of them. You know,
lost your number one wide receiver.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like it may take 2 or 3 weeks for them to really get to firing on all cylinders. So I'm going to try to not be as aggressive as I usually am towards that and kind of let it be what it is. You know what I mean? For a couple of weeks. Now, if they don't have together like the week before Oregon, then I might start talking. But, you know, I'm going to give some time, let it click, and hopefully we'll be where we need to be for Oregon.
I can't fully disagree with you there, but my expectations are just so high, and I try to temper them, but I have a feeling, and I know a lot of other people just have a feeling the season's got to be different. Whether you really feel like, honestly, it should be different, but you know it has to be different. It has to be different. We haven't won the Big Ten since 2019. Since 2020. We haven't beat Michigan since 2019. I mean, we're talking 4 or 5 years since – you know, we have three goals every year that Ryan Day clearly says we need to beat Michigan, we need to win the Big Ten, and we want to compete for the national title. And we've fallen short since 2020 and on. We've fallen short in at least one or two of those goals or all three.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
So
can't disagree.
I understand where you're coming from. Give him some time. But, dude, he's had time. Will Howard has transferred in. He's had a spring. He's had the fall camp. I'm expecting, especially with, you know, mostly the same offensive line, with just a couple few extra additions to the offense, but a completely similar defense, if not even more improved. I want to see a product that I would expect that looks more experienced and not having to work through growing pains the first few weeks, especially against those opponents. So I kind of understand where you're coming from, but I'm also going to disagree and say it needs to look a lot better in those first 3 weeks, especially because the opponents are playing.
I mean, I can't tell you you're wrong. I can't. I mean, to each his own going into the season. I think what we're doing right here is reversing roles. Usually I'm on your side and you're on mine, to be totally honest with you. You're more of the kind of lay back and let it go, and I get all fired up immediately.
Right.
So I think we've kind of reversed a little bit, which is kind of funny.
And maybe it's the year of reversal. I don't know. But, you know, losing to that team up north 3 years in a row, regardless of how that was obtained, you know, we're not going to get into that whole ordeal. But, you know, even simply, you know, because of that outcome, not winning the Big Ten since 2020, it's just – there's a bad taste in my mouth, man. I know our expectations are so high at Ohio State. And ever since, you know, Jim Tressel, he's raised the bar. And Urban kept that bar high, if not higher, and handed off to Ryan Day, which the funny thing is everyone complains so much about Ryan Day. And I'm not saying right, wrong, or indifferent, because I understand, you know, certain games that he's losing he shouldn't. But he has, of any coach active over the last 20, 30 years, he has the best winning percentage. He has a higher winning percentage more than what Pete Carroll, Nick Saban, Kirby Smart. I mean, he only has 8 losses. What is he, 57-8? Something crazy like that, 67-8? I don't even know what it is. So you have to put it into perspective that we understand that, you know, our expectations are high. And sometimes it may seem almost unfair, but when it comes down to it, we understand what we have as a team. We understand the history of Ohio State. We understand what's important to us. And we know that we have not obtained anywhere near what our goals are for 4 years running.
Yeah, and but I'll
it
say
has
this,
to,
though,
it man. Has to end this year.
The hell with the winning percentage. That don't mean shit to me. If you coach 100 games at Ohio State and you lose all 10 times to Michigan, if you have a 10-game season, you lose 10 times to Michigan, you still got a pretty damn good winning percentage. But
yeah,
you didn't do anything.
That's called John Cooper.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I don't really care about his percentage. You know, he needs some hardware. He needs to accomplish
exactly.
those three goals he's talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. Well, yeah, right. And that's why, I mean, I'm essentially making the same argument as you, because I'm sitting there telling you Ryan Day has the highest winning percentage over the last 20, 30 years of any coach with 50 or more games. But that
not
still doesn't.
The right people.
But exactly, it doesn't change the fact that our expectations are so high that that's not good enough, because the hardware is not there. It's not the gold pants. It's not a Big Ten championship ring.
You know what's funny about Ryan Day, though? If you remember, you know, Urban's kind of MO was that we would lose to someone completely off the radar. that we should never lose to.
Yep.
And then we would bounce back, and then, you know, and then we would win a Big Ten title, beat Michigan or whatever, and possibly contend for a national title and even win a national title. But I think Ryan Day doesn't lose those games, but he also doesn't win the big games a lot.
I mean, that's been proven to be true so far. I agree. Now, I'm not going to say he's not won any big games. I mean, I still credit him for one of my favorite playoff games and how we curb stomped Clemson back in 2020.
Oh, sure. I'm not saying he doesn't win any big games.
You still have to credit him for potentially probably should have beat Georgia back in 2022. So, I think he gets a little bit of a bad rap, but I agree that, you know, he's had some growing pains because just like you had your doubts when he was first hired on after Urban Meyer, you know, he's had some, there's been a learning curve. And I think he's gone through enough experiences now that I feel like he is finally getting more like a seasoned veteran head coach, and he understands what it's going to take. And I think we're finally going to see it this year.
I hope so. Well, let's get into these prop bets, dude.
Yeah,
Do a final and get the heck out of here.
We got to do our prop bets. We'll do a score prediction, and then we'll get on out of here. So our first week of prop bets. Here is our three prop bets. And again, you know, we discussed this off the air, and it's funny. Sometimes we can get this thing done in a couple minutes. Sometimes it takes like 15 minutes because we're super competitive and we think alike. Sometimes when it comes to the game format and statistics and things like that. But we finally did come up with three. The first one we had is, will Akron, how many points will they score? And I think they will score 7 or less points. I have enough trust in the defense. Even if we have to bring in the backups, I think we'll keep them to a touchdown or less. Chad says the Akron will score 8 or more.
Yeah,
so that's our first one. I mean, then that's true. I mean, you never know in garbage time. So it's going to kind of be a butt that, you know, it's going to be in limbo there for a little while.
And real quick, let me just say, I'm never as confident about the first week bets as I am any of the other ones because we don't know anything about anything yet. So right, you're just pulling it out of your ass. Which is
one of the reasons why we spent 20 minutes working on these first three.
Yeah.
The next one is Ohio State field goals. How many will be made? I set the over-under at 1.5. I have no idea what DraftKings or FanDuel or anyone said on this stuff. This is just kind of me and you talking out loud, right?
Yep.
But I say Ohio State makes one or fewer field goals. I just have a feeling this is going to be a game once we get in the red zone and scoring position. We're going to make it happen, or we're going to push the issue knowing the competitor. And I don't think we're going to try a lot of field goals. So I say we make one or fewer field goals. Chad says we make two or more. And then our final one is, who is going to get more yards? Is it going to be Carnell Tate or is it going to be Jeremiah Smith? And I think early on, Jeremiah Smith is going to be more of a specialist red zone. I think Carnell Tate, being a year in the system, is going to get more. So I voted for Carnell Tate to get more yards, and Chad decided to take Jeremiah Smith. So those are our three prop bets for the first game. Obviously, we will keep record of that and post that on the website, again, dtipodcast.com. And we will keep a running tally for this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the spread of this game, and you told me earlier, is it 50 and a half? Do you think we cover the spread?
No.
I think we do.
I would take the points.
I think it has nothing to do with capability.
It has to do with Ryan Day has way too much class.
I get that. I mean, once you get a high enough spread like this, a lot has to do with once you get the backups in. I mean, it's not only how effective you're on the first half. Are you really running the score up in the first half? Do you score a couple more times third quarter? But I agree. You know,
so I look at what we were saying, right?
It's hard to gauge.
You don't think they're going to score. You don't think they're going to score at all, right? I think they're going to score 10 points. So that would mean I would have to think we're going to score over 60. And I do not see Ryan Day letting that happen.
Right. And I'm in the boat that I think that I don't even know if we give up a touchdown. I think we might give up 3 to 6 points to Akron. And I think we score like 60, 63 in that range.
Okay. Well, give me a score prediction.
That's kind of where I'm at. So I'm going to say that we're going to do a 59-3.
Okay.
That's where I'm at. 59-3. I think it's a 56 point difference. I think we do cover the spread. I don't know what the over under is. Don't care. It's not part of our bets this week. 59-6.
Okay.
I'm going to go 59-3. What did I say the first time? 59-3?
Yeah.
I'm going to write it down. 59-3.
Okay. I'm going to go 52-10 bucks.
And either way, I think we'd be pleased with that outcome. I think that would show enough, at least in the first game. You know, you're knocking some rust off. It's the first time you're really tackling someone full speed, because even though you're tackling in fall camp, you know, you're trying not to hurt someone on the same team. But this is the first time you're going full speed, 100%, like, yeah. Do it to it.
100%.
So either one of those outcomes I would be pleased with. Let me ask you this. What would be a score outcome on the low end that would get to the point where you are not pleased with this outcome?
I would say, to be totally honest with you, under 35 points. And that's regardless of what they score. Maybe 35 to nothing. Like I said, it's the first game of the year, man. We got to let them figure it out. You got young receivers. There's a lot of new parts, man, moving. You know, I'm not interested in how many points we score as much as how does it look? How is our play calling? You know, how is the communication? You know, how is Will Howard's decision-making abilities? You know, how does our offensive line look? Those are the things I'm more concerned with in this game, really. I'm not really concerned about really padding the score. As long as we put up about 35 points, man, and look solid and look like we're supposed to be there, then I'm okay.
You know, you're right. You really are right. But I'll be perfectly honest. Anything sub 49 points in this game is going to feel disappointing to me. But I agree that, you know, what it looks like, how Will Howard manages this offense, how he looks like using his feet, how he looks like distributing the ball, how accurate he is, how the receivers are running routes, how our running backs are moving the chains, whether or not we break off big plays. Like, that's all important, and I agree. I think that's probably more important overall than the score. But I can't sit here and lie to you, dude. Against Akron, anything sub 49 is going to feel disappointing to me.
Well, I'll put it this way. I'm also trying to keep in mind, Will Howard is coming into this game, all eyes are on him. Okay, he's never been in an environment like this, ever. Okay, now he's played in some bigger games or whatever, but you're talking about Kansas State versus Ohio State, totally different world. I guarantee you right now, you could not drive a nail in the dude's butthole with a sledgehammer. It's tighter than shit. Okay? I'm just saying, like, yeah. You know, so I'm going to give a little bit of leeway, you know, yeah. A little bit.
Right.
Anyways, dude, let's wrap this thing up. We've been on here too long. So thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll get back to you with more information on the live show and what we got going forward with the prop bets and things that are owed. But thanks for listening. And Davis, tell them where they can find us.
All right, guys, like always, you can catch us on all major streaming services. We're on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and more. We also have a Facebook page where we do post a lot of our content, and that's where we get a lot more of our fan interaction, listener interaction. We also have a page on X where we also post a lot of similar things as well, so check us out there. And don't forget our website that I've mentioned several times today. That is dtipodcast.com. You can also listen to our episodes. We also have more information, especially our awesome sponsor, Additional Flavors. They're posted on there, so you can have a link to their website if you're interested in ordering any of their spices and rubs and things like that. But, you know, we're just so happy to be back again for our fifth season, I believe it is. A lot of high expectations this year, and we're just so looking forward to finally seeing Ohio State football after 9 months of just talking about it. So, you know, let's let them play it on the field. Hopefully you guys enjoy the game, and once the game wraps up, we will have another episode for you for the post game to wrap things up, and we're looking forward to talking to you guys then. So thanks for everything. Thanks for all the support. We look forward to talking to you guys next time. And as always, go Bucks. OH!